Welcome back to the third hour of the KPK Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Always nice to have you here Saturdays 5 to 8 on KPK, 1530 AM and 93.1 FM. And, you know, this is the time of year where, you know, I have to talk about them because it just seems the right time of year to talk about pasties. So I'm going to, real quick, for the eighth caller, the Pasty Shack at 48th and J will send you a certificate for three pasties of your choice. This is a thin pastry shell with, you know, they've got the Bavarian, the Cornish, the original one, the chicken, the chili verde, the vegetarian. Meat, vegetables, potatoes. It's a meal. It's you walk into the Pasty Shack, if you're not hungry, you're hungry. It smells that good. You can cook them at home. Thank you to the Pasty Shack. Eighth caller at 921-1530, 800-834-1530. Good luck out there. Let's talk to Mr. Gary Coe.
They know I love them down there, don't they?
I know. Well, I always give them away when you're on the phone so you can't call in.
I figured that out. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, you sent me this text of these kokanee. In fact, I was just talking to Rob Reimers about it. Now, here's Rob, another guy. Rob's a good fisherman, and he goes out and figure things out and everything. He's never done much winter kokanee fishing. And like we were saying, it's probably been there all along. But, you know, what's the best way to catch a kokanee? You put a dodger on and a leader and your lure and a piece of worm. Well, and then you go straight below the boat with your downrigger. Well, when the fish are 6 feet deep, you're not going to catch them just like trout. They're going to move out of the way of the boat, and that's basically the core of the success, I think, for winter, don't you?
Yes. It's a different ball game, and you don't even use the same lures. You know, because we all know that water depths affect color. And so I think, you know, the lures don't even look the same at 5 feet as they generally do at 50 or 60 or 70. So you've got to be ready to change things up and get outside.
Well, and there's certain colors that show up in that deep water with very little light. And we use that to our advantage. But, you know, things, like you say, what you see is maybe what the fish see when you're only 6 or 7 feet deep.
Yes. And then you have to be very cognizant of water temperature. We're finding that this year in that you can't we thought we'd learned something last year, and I think we did learn something, you know, because before that I don't know of anyone that was doing much kokanee fishing in the winter. But you go out today and it's a different ball game from last year. The water's 8 or 10 degrees warmer in most lakes. And the 4 or 5 foot deep presentation that you made 100 feet behind the boat last year maybe still needs to be 80, 90, or 100 feet back, but instead of 4 feet or 5 feet deep, it's 30 or 40.
Yeah, you just don't know.
Yes, but that's fun.
Yeah.
That's the difference between catching and, you know, and fishing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I noticed just in looking at the temperatures this morning for today, the forecast, like our daytime temperature is 4 degrees warmer than average. Our nighttime is 6 degrees warmer than average today, and that's what's been going on.
Yeah,
and that makes a lake like we were talking yesterday, Whiskeytown, which without any major river inlet, it depends on the daytime temperatures on what happens with the temperature of that lake, and there it is, about 8 or 10 degrees higher than it normally is for this date.
I talked to Kevin Ogg, who went up there last weekend and got right in the middle of that storm on Whiskeytown. It was rain one day and snow the next.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the ones that we were up there doing. We ended up doing pretty well on Whiskeytown last winter. And he was right there with us fishing, you know, and a side planer's at daylight, probably 2 feet deep. And then we'd really go deep later on, you know, like maybe 5 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
He was up there. Weekend before last, when that storm was going through in the North State, fishing water 52 to 54 degrees, which was a full 10 degrees warmer than we were fishing last year at this time, and he was fishing 40 to 60 feet deep instead of 4 and 5.
Huh.
and picking up these larger fish. He could pick up fish in the top five, but they were 1 year fish, 8, 9, 10 inches long. And he dropped down to the 40, 50, 60 and started picking up the 12s and 13. They think he got 1 14-inch fish.
I'm sure water clarity has something to do with that. It's a combination of things, right?
Which is very interesting and unique this year. What you can learn in Whiskeytown this year, you may never use it again, but we did talk about that extensively because of all the ash. You know, it rains and parts of the lake, you know, the clarity goes away because that's generally a very clear lake.
Yeah.
He gets up on the north side up around Whiskey Creek, and I guess the clarity's like it always has been. It's, you know, it's 20 or 25 feet.
Yeah.
But you get out in the middle down by the dam, down by the buoy line, or down on the south side by Brandy Creek that just got hit with everything over there burn up,
mm-hmm.
the water clarity is 6 to 8 feet.
So there's your runoff from the fire.
Yeah, there's the ash. Mm. So you have to you just throw that in the mix. It's something else to worry. It's not to worry about it, but it's to get a handle on, you know.
Hey, look at this is the perfect time of year to talk about it because you need to experiment with so many different lures and colors, and just so happens to be Christmas time. So
yeah.
if you're in shopping for last minute gifts for a fisherman, don't be afraid to go out and splurge a little bit on different colors and lures for his or her favorite type of fishing.
You know, and there's going to, I mean, last year's stuff, proof's in the pudding, it catches fish right now because that's what everyone has been using. And it's not old. You know, it's just not the latest state-of-the-art stuff. It still works just as well.
Yeah.
And proof in the pudding, talking about everything changing, I said, Kevin, tell me, what's the best lures, the best dodger? And you know what he said? We heard it all last year. He said two lures, the Purple Haze and the Blood Red Hoochie and the Wonder Bread Dodger, were his biggest hitters up there in the rain and the snowstorm with him before last. So some things change.
The Wonder Bread Dodger.
What?
The Wonder Bread.
Yeah, it makes you hungry just to think about it, I know. And then this Buller's Bar thing is just, you know, just phenomenal. It's just, those fish are beautiful.
Yeah, they are. How deep were they?
They were deeper. They started off early, shallow. They started off where we ended up last year. And as I understand it, they're, you know, fishing out in the open water in front of Dark Day, which is east of the mouth of the river inlet, you know, the river run.
Yeah.
And they're fishing down to anywhere from 5 or 10 feet early down to 40 and 50 feet later on. I think water temperature is the same deal.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, and the same bait. We even got a good report on bait. You know, it's the same old thing. You can't change everything all at once. Tuna, garlic, and then they're using their favorite dyes, you know, different colors.
Yeah.
And you know, you just got to go out and try it. They are long lining. They're still running that 90, 100 feet behind the boat.
Even when they're down 40 feet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, if that's what it takes. I mean, you know, most people, the first thing I think, I'm down 40 feet. I don't have to worry about letting out all that line. But you're saying that makes a difference then, right?
You know, you're right. If I'm down 40 feet and I stop at 60, I think that's, you know, that's 100 feet of line out. Plus,
yeah.
Got a little bow.
Yeah.
That should be, that's probably where I would start.
Yeah, right.
You know,
let's not make this labor intensive.
Yeah. Well, the new line counter reels make it pretty easy, you know.
Yeah, right.
If you can read to 100, you got to make.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, specific lures and everything. Can you hold on a second?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back with Gary Coe right after we take a quick break. And I do want to tell you about Adventure Sports. Now, here we have a business that carries all major kayaks, fishing kayaks, all the best there is. It's absolutely amazing. And the reason I bring it up is because, you know, for a last-minute Christmas gift, you have anybody that likes the water, whether you're a fisher person or not. you got to love a kayak because they're made so much better than they used to be. Now, adventure sports, first of all, they got more Hobies than anybody in the Western United States. That's what they do. If Hobie is your game, that's where you go, is wilderness sports. But they also carry Wilderness Systems, Old Town, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft, Ocean Kayak, Perception, Bonafide, Malone. Got the picture? And every accessory known to mankind. They've got them all on their website. You can spend a few hours on their website looking at all the package things they have and what the sales are. They have dozens and dozens of kayaks on sale right now for Christmas. And they also have, they're still in the process of selling their used kayaks. They always have kind of a parking lot sale out back where you can really, these are nice boats, you can pick up a deal. Anyway, you can pay what you want. If you want something for both of you, get a tandem kayak, okay? That I see more people in tandem kayaks than ever before. It's a great gift. It's a great way to enjoy yourself. And make sure you sit in the back so they don't know that you're not paddling. Anyway, you got the picture. Fishing kayaks have never been more popular. Auburn Adventure Sports has never had more kayaks in stock. They're at 7812 Auburn Boulevard. They're just north of Antelope, 3 minutes off I-80. You can call them at 916-565-1400. Go to their website and see what I'm talking about, kayakcity.com. We're talking with Gary Coe of Kokanee Power about winter kokanee fishing and what it takes to get the fish. Gary, last year was really the coming out party for Richie Height and the Paulina Peak tackle. But, you know, everybody's making, there's a lot of good tackle, just like kayaks that we were talking about. There's a lot of good tackle around, too. And, you know, we've got some old mainstay Dodgers like Vance's Dodgers and the Sling Blades. You know you can catch fish on those. You got to try different stuff. Richie Hyde's a great fisherman, so he's very innovative with his Dodgers and lures. But how would you go about starting with the winter kokanee?
Well, good question. I think it's a little bit different than last year. So I think you almost have to begin again as though it were year one. You can't. We didn't build that good of a box last year because the box has changed. We didn't have all those fires up there. We've got mm-hmm. different water temperatures, different water clarity, ash in the water, one thing and another. So I think you almost have to start over. And you're right. We've got a lot of good tackle. It was a learning process. Every day we went out, we tried something different. What we found is that they did not need to be over agitated, so you didn't have to run the biggest, baddest Dodger. Sometimes the smaller Dodgers worked better than the larger ones. I mean, you know I'm a big Dodger guy.
Yeah.
But when you're not catching fish and someone else
well,
is.
Well, they're not approaching their spawning cycle, so you take that out of the equation. They're not as irritable.
Yeah. And even though the water's warmer this year than last, it's colder than it is going to be, in 2 or 3, 4 months where we're fishing, 60, 70-degree water, and now it's in the low 50s. So they like a little slower present less aggressive presentation, mm-hmm. not only slower in speed, but just not as hot, a little lazier. So you move the leader link out 6 inches or so,
mm.
and see if you start picking up more fish because you don't need to agitate them. They're just glad to be there.
Sure,
they went through a fire.
Yeah.
I think to go back to the tried and true, it appears from what I've heard just 3 or 4 reports this year, the tuna garlic, and your favorite color, seems to be the hot ticket once again as far as flavors, and your lures, what kind of bait you're running.
You think naturalized colors as opposed to, you know, the pinks and the reds have a better chance of working now?
It's funny. Funny that you should mention it, because I was talking to Richie night before last about it, and we ended up running more natural colored scented corn last winter than we did in the summer. It seemed like you just, I don't know if we caught less fish, but we certainly didn't catch more.
Mm.
So it's still learning. You don't want to learn everything there is to know in 1 year. Yeah. You know, and he's continuing. He's not happy until he gets what he considers to be the best lure. It's one of the reasons he is successful.
Yeah.
And he's got two new rods coming out. This new 8-foot kokanee rod is a honey.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's nice. but the two colors that worked well were last year's hammered gold Big Eye Dodger, hammered. Gold plated with an orange stripe down it in both the 4.5 and the 5.5. Seems to be the hot ticket for the Dodger this year. Somebody's doing very well on pink. Someone else is doing very well on orange. But the thing that they're doing with the hoochies, you know, in the summertime, you can generally pick up more bites by running a little blade in front of them. In the wintertime, they don't want the blade.
Hmm.
I think it's the agitation thing.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it was...
So in other words, we're primed to overthink this whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that might be it. It's just, but it's fun just to see the quality of fish coming out of there. Oh, my goodness. They're pristine.
I can hardly
wait to put them on the...
Speaking of putting them on the Barbie... you got a little kokanee recipe for us?
Mike, well, you know, if I really want to get tricky, I'd go out, get in the truck, drive around the corner, and go see Scott.
Right.
However, I'll tell you, around here we do one of two things. They're both very simple, which I think is nice. But one of the things we like to do is a cedar plank. You know, you take the plank and soak it all day so it smokes up good. And then you keep it simple. You don't have to do a lot to kokanee. You know that.
Yeah.
A salt, pepper, and garlic, or maybe a little slice of lemon or lime on top of it, you know, and put it on the cedar and let it just smoke the heck out of it. Don't turn it. And before you know it, don't overcook it because it'll dry out.
Yeah.
And take it off and let it cool down a little bit, and you've got some pretty good food. Then remember the old way. People have gotten away from the tinfoil thing, you know, where they almost float it and you steam the fish almost.
Like poached.
Yes, yes. But and you leave it, you can leave it whole. You know, you can clean the fish and, you know, just leave it, take the head off and the tail and the fin, you know, and all that, and put it in there with a little bit of onion and lemon and garlic and olive oil, you know, just and wrap it up and let it kind of steam for a few minutes. Once again, don't overcook it. And it's just... It's tough to beat. Yeah. The only thing you need, the only thing left is a corkscrew.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, before we run out of time, you're going to be at the ISE show.
Absolutely. Same booth, same place. Come by and say hi. We've got special deals going on our membership and giveaways as always. Just look forward to saying hello to everyone.
Okay. And you got your dinner in March.
March 9th. California Automobile Museum. We're planning a
downtown Sacramento.
Absolutely, we're planning on a super event this year. We're just hoping to have a lot of fun.
And how many tournaments you have scheduled for this year?
We have six. Exciting news. How long do I have? 30 seconds.
I'll tell you 30 seconds.
I won't tell you who, but somebody came up with a Mad Derby Member Appreciation Day. Guess who? Nancy's working on it feverishly. And we are having a derby. We're going to open the season with a trout and kokanee membership appreciation derby at Pardee. You don't have to be a member to come, but if you are a member, you get in a half price. And if you aren't a member, you are when you sign up for the derby.
Okay. There you go.
Gonna have fun.
What's
and we're going back to New Maloney's.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, gotcha. There hasn't been enough water in there, you know.
I know.
But there were a bunch of fish caught there late in the season that people were being really quiet about. Well, we're going to go to let people come down and enjoy it. They're there again this year. There's plenty of water. They're already picking up some winter fish down there, from what I understand. And we will be there on the 13th of July.
Okay. That's good.
We'll be down at Shaver Lake again, like always. We'll be at Stampede. You know, that was 170-plus people entrance this year in 18, and I think it's going to be bigger than next year.
Yeah. Well, good. You got a lot of things going for you, including some winter kokanee fishing. So keep up the good work with the Kokanee Power Organization, Gary, and Merry Christmas to you and Nancy.
Well, and to you and your family and everyone listening. I just hope we have a blessed 19. 18 has been a whirlwind. It's you know, I wouldn't trade being here for anywhere else, but we've got some work to do, don't we?
We do. We do.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye.
Bye.
Gary Koh, president of Kokanee Power, and don't that winter kokanee fishing, it's going to be the rage because, for one thing, you can go out and catch fish, and second, that's about the best eating fish this time of year especially you'll ever have. Okay, don't go away. We got lots more after the break. Welcome back. Well, steelhead fishing for the adventurous up on the Klamath River couldn't be better. I talked to Mario Gomez of Ironhead Guide Service in Happy Camp about just that. Mario, we've had storms the last couple of weeks kind of move in and out of your area up there. Has that affected the Klamath River?
Yep, it sure has, Bob. The river's, you know, been rising and dropping, and we've been picking away at it in between the storms.
And so, actually, when it's clearing, that's some of the best fishing. So how you been doing?
We've been doing pretty good. You know, we've been bouncing around in between fishing around Happy Camp and then dropping down into the lower section of the river, fishing down by Orleans. And we've been doing good in both locations, catching nice, fresh fish.
It's kind of unusual that... this isn't the first I've heard in the last couple of weeks that fresh fish are coming. It seems like it's a little early for the winter run fish, but maybe not with this series of storms.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to tell. You know, maybe they just got clean, you know, from the high water, but everything that we've been catching doesn't have any color on them at all. They've all
fresh.
All pretty shiny.
Yeah. Are they averaging a little bit bigger as well?
Yeah, the fish, you know, that I've been getting around Happy Camp have been pretty decent. We've been getting, you know, anywhere between 6 and 10 adults a day.
Well, that is good fishing, Mario.
Yeah, we got one that was almost 8 pounds today, I think. It was probably pretty close.
Yeah, and what are they averaging?
As far as weight goes, 4 pounds, you know, 4 or 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Definitely a little bit bigger than our fall fish, and that's why I'm thinking that they're winter fish.
Yeah, boy, to get six or eight 4 to 5 pounders a day, you'd have to go far and wide to beat that steelhead fishing.
Yeah, you sure would.
Yeah,
I know a lot of my other buddies that are fishing elsewhere, they're not doing that good at all.
I know it. Of course, it's still early for the coastal rivers, you know, so we'll see what happens. But what are you using mostly, Mario?
Bob, we've been having our best success on glow bugs, you know, and yarn balls with eggs. And we had a really good day 3 days ago on the last drop on plugs.
They got aggressive, huh?
Yeah, and the river was kind of high, so I busted out the plugs and I started picking away at the pocket water, you know, underneath the willows and stuff. And I found the fish because they were hiding. I was having a tough day that day and I had to bring them out.
So they were really looking for cover then, huh?
Yeah, they were like on the sides of the river, like hanging out, you know, in little pockets where normally I don't find them this time of year. And the river wasn't that high. I mean, it was up around 2,500 CFS, but normally, you know, at 2,500, I'm getting them in the deep holes and the riffles.
Yeah.
And they were still pushed up on the bank, I think, because of the flush that we had the day before.
Yeah, they just hadn't moved back out to the mainstream yet, you think?
Yeah, I think that's what was going on there.
Well, that was good thinking on your part. I mean, just think what would happen if you hadn't done that.
Yeah, we would have had a tough day for sure. We only caught a couple fish until we got the plugs out. And something else, too, there was a lot of leaves in the water when we started. And
oh, there you go. Yeah.
And the fish started biting better. So. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like there's different concentrations of fish from below Orleans clear up to Somes Bar, between Happy Camp and Somes Bar, and above Happy Camp.
Yeah, there are. I think, there's all the different tributaries, and I think those rivers and those creeks have their own little populations of fish that move through the river. And a friend of mine fished the Scott River 2 days ago after the last rise, and they did awesome. I mean, he was showing me pictures of fish that they caught up there, and they looked like big Klamath River steelhead. They were like 5 to 8 pound fish, and they were fresh.
And the Scott River, of course, comes into the Klamath at a little town called Hamburg. It comes down through from Fort Jones up there in the Scott Valley, and then goes down the canyon, comes out at Hamburg, and as the river's dropping, that can be real good, especially the lower section. But Mario's number, that's some fabulous steelhead fishing. To book a trip, 530-598-0530. Also talk to Bill McDaniel at Limit Out over at Clear Lake about bass and crappie. Bill, a couple of weeks ago when we last spoke, Clear Lake, was kicking out a few bass, but it was kind of evolving into the minnow bite, which it does every year. And we were talking about how those big bass tend to school up when it gets cold and we get that kind of finesse twitch bite. But it hasn't gotten to be that cold, has it?
It has not. As a matter of fact, today you'd have thought it was a spring day almost.
Yeah.
Warmer, but you are correct. The it hasn't gotten that cold, and that twitch bite really hasn't appeared yet.
Yeah.
And the minnows are working. They're working, and as I said, occasionally some other technique, a Ned rig or a Senko or something on the bottom that you can catch a couple. But the bait fish are still thick. They're not as bad as they were a week or so ago, but there's still a ton of bait fish in there.
Yeah, so well, they got plenty to eat. So the minnows are then the minnows are far and away the best bait.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
And right, are people just you're just dragging them very slowly along the bottom?
Yeah, that's one way. Some of the guys just put it on a slide or a split and just sit on it. Just stay still and watch it. And if they the line starts to move or they feel a tick on the line, then there's a good chance there's.
It's funny. You'd think, just visualizing how a bass would feed on minnows, you think they'd come up and grab it and swim back, and it's kind of a violent take, but that's not the case. It's like you don't even know they're there half the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was surprising to me, and especially from other types of fishing I've done. I'm expecting to get this giant yank on the line, and I rear back. But no, it can be nothing but the line moving sideways or a little tick tick, and it's not violent unless you hook up on a good one, and of course that everything
sure
changes.
But sure.
But and then the guys will tell me that they'll sit on it. And finally, they'll check their line. The minnow's gone. They saw it, felt nothing. So
yeah.
Yeah, so he just something came along and just sucked it off, pulled it right off, whatever. And
How do they do that?
I have no idea.
What about the crappie? You mentioned that a couple of weeks ago as well.
Yes, now that is continuing to be really good. The trick and the fish are big. These schools move around. They're still in deeper water. There was one exception. Where a guy he was hunting them, and he was in about 25 feet of water, and he saw on his finder he saw fish staging at 5, and he got crappie staging at 5 feet down. But that's the exception. I haven't heard anyone else say that's happened. They're basically getting them in deeper water off the end of deep docks and et cetera, and limits. A guy that lives here and he fishes a lot. He found this one dock in Clear Lake, and the town of near the town of Clear Lake, and he got limits 3 days in a row, and really good sized fish, you know, 2+ pounds, some over 3. So
that's amazing how they hang out. You got a million docks in Clear Lake, and all of a sudden they all hang out at one dock in a section of lake.
It's so true, and of course he went back 2 days later, and there wasn't a crappie in sight.
Isn't that the way it goes, huh? That's Bill McDonald over at Limit Out. His number, 707-998-1006. That crappie tournament's scheduled for Saturday, January 26th. We'll tell you more about that. When we come back, we'll talk to James Netzel of Tight Lines about stripers. Well, if we're not careful, we're going to have to start calling our next guest Mr. Mudsucker. James Netzel of Tight Lines Guide Service joins us. Good morning.
Good morning there. How are you doing? Live from my couch, huh?
Yeah, you bet. Well, you know, I'll tell you one thing. I've heard a lot of reports from the couches that said they were in their boats, so you're off to a good start, James.
Oh, okay.
So you've been out striper fishing, and from what I understand, you have been drifting some mudsuckers, huh, or slow trolling them.
Yeah, it's disappointing how fast it slowed down, but we got big tides, too. Yeah. Last week, we had 50 fish days, and started slowing down. You know, we weren't getting the size, and the past 2 days, the biggest fish we got was 5 pounds, and last 2 days, six keepers was all we put in the boat.
Wow.
You know, probably 20 or 30 fish total on Thursday, only 15 total on Friday.
What do you attribute the slowdown to, James?
Big tide. I only had about an hour and a half of the outgo of a slow tide, and then the slack tide. Then if you're drifting and without the motor at all, you're going 1.5 miles an hour up upstream with that big incoming tide.
Yeah. Well, how deep of water are you fishing in?
I was doing best in 20 to 25 feet.
Okay, and you're on the San Joaquin side, are you?
Yeah, and we fished Broad Slough, which in right by the Sacramento side, so that's almost a Sacramento side, but. But, yeah, Broad's been my little secret go-to spot for the past 3 weeks, but it's not a – we didn't get a fish out of there yesterday.
Yeah, feast or famine, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it seems to me there should always be fish around Broad Slough.
You would think so.
I know.
Maybe they're in that 3 feet of water out in the middle that I'm afraid to go into.
Yeah, who knows? Well, there are a lot of boats we've seen stuck out there, so –
yeah.
Better safe than sorry. So what do you think? We're just kind of going through a little transition period here, James?
This is the time of year where I pretty much phase out of the rivers and delta and start hitting the lakes. I was having so much fun catching fish as opposed to salmon season where we were catching so few a day. Stripers were kind of fun. But I need to get my butt back on the lakes and get out to Folsom and Berryessa and find me some trout.
Yeah, well, the bass fishermen are reporting nice trout at Folsom, and I don't know if you heard, but it's great bite up at Bullard's Bar for kokanee, not big 12 to 13 inches, but they're healthy. So
and you can keep 10 of them.
Yeah, keep that's some good eating there, right, James?
There's a lot of cleaning.
Yeah. Hey, listen, thank you so much for helping us out this year, and I wish you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for all your efforts for the victims of the campfire in Paradise.
Oh, no problem. We probably got to do something else for them. We've been off the news for a while.
I think you're right. Okay. Anyway, thank you, James.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. James Netzel. Tight Lines Guide Service. To book a trip, toll free 888-975-0990. Here's a fish planting schedule. Well, not really, but here's what they're going to be planting here from this past Wednesday, which I think, what was it, the 19th,
through January 4th, which is the Friday after New Year's. Now, you can go to the Fish and Game website, which is wildlife.ca.gov. Click on fishing, click on inland fishing, then click on fish planting schedule. But some of the water is going to be planted. Folsom Lake, Jenkinson's Lake, Upper Blue Lake over in Lake County, Rollins Reservoir, Scott's Flat Reservoir, Auburn Regional Park Pond, Lake Almanor, and a lot of the parks in Sacramento County, Elk Grove Park, Hagen Park, Howe Community Park, North Natomas, Granite Park, Rancho Seco Lake, and Mather Lake. And I think they have already planning, or they're planning before Christmas, at Granite Park and North Natomas. Thank you, Don Paganelli, for that, and Merry Christmas to you, Don. They're up in the northern counties. Bomb Lake is going to be planted. Even Collins Lake is going to be planted. So a lot of fish planting schedules. I promised I would tell you about bald eagles on some of our lakes, where to find them. Well, one lake you can always see bald eagles is Comanche. And, you know, you go up the river arms and you go on the little side channels, and if there's no boats around, keep your eyes open. I've been almost right underneath them when they've been perched in trees. Down in the major part of the lake, on the south side where the water tower, that little ridge and forest, you'll see eagles there. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot there. There used to be a lot more at Folsom Lake, but there's just so much housing now. There used to be definitely two nesting pairs there. I haven't seen them on the lake. I think they have moved up the rivers. The South Fork, and it gets pretty remote in that canyon, and you'll see them up there. But Shasta Lake is known for its bald eagles. If you've never seen a bald eagle, you just got to start looking around a little bit. I mean, they saw one that was nesting over Lake Natomas for years. It's probably still there. So they can tolerate some civilization, but up at Shasta, the Pitt Arm and the Squaw Creek Arm are my two favorite places to go. You can't hardly not see them up there from a boat. At Berryessa, we didn't get a chance to play our interview today from on Berryessa from Luke Lapanovich, but he said he's seeing more bald eagles at Berryessa than he ever has in his life. And we used to see them once in a while over there. It sounds like they're really marching on Lake Berryessa. So, wherever you go, I think people just don't look up or look for them. You look for them, you can see a bald eagle perched in a tree from a long ways away. That big old white head really sticks out there. So, if you're having any difficulty with last-minute Christmas gifts, keep this in mind. If your gift-giving circle includes people in the outdoors, specifically fishermen or hunters, let's say this fisherman has a dozen rods. Let's just say that, okay? And the last thing you think about is giving them another rod, right? Well, don't think that way, because you get your fishing partner another rod, it'll be the best gift he got for Christmas. I know it's a sickness, but that's the way it is. And the duck hunters, most duck hunters I know, they go out and buy a bunch of cheap decoys. And, you know, you can't blame them. You got to have a lot of decoys sometimes. You get them a half a dozen to a dozen quality duck decoys. Well, first of all, they will make a difference. And second of all, they'll be thrilled. I tell you, the outdoorsman lure packages. If it's a kokanee fisherman like we're just talking about, talk to some people in the bait shops and the tackle stores. They can steer you the right way. You can't buy anything they won't like. I don't care if they already have it. That's just the way it is with fishermen and hunters. Long underwear, good quality long underwear you can find at some of the big box stores around. What a great gift. You don't have to get the real heavy duty, the light stuff to wear every day. Get good quality socks. Anything for the outdoors, they're going to appreciate. So with that being said, I hope Santa's nice to every one of you, and I hope all of you have a very Merry Christmas.